Okay. Well, this morning, the Lord, I was saying, Lord, I hope you're still awake up there. But anyway, he gave me the song, and it was The Lord Liveth. And blessed be my rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. And it was like, how many of us know the Lord liveth? My Redeemer liveth. And it was like, the Lord liveth. And when we know that, we can call upon him. But all the times that he's been there for us, God has been so faithful. It's like we can call upon him with confidence. And what did David do? He had to encourage himself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't encourage yourself in anything or anybody else. Just encourage yourself in the Lord. And I was thinking about the Lord liveth. And it's like we're blessing the Lord because he is my strength. We triumph in God. He is my rock. What a solid place to stand. My fortress. He's my deliverer. He's the one that's going to rescue or deliver us. But every time the Lord does any of these things, you know what it does? It draws you closer to him. It always, sometimes we go, oh, I hate having to feel this, but it's wonderful. I mean, you get to the place that you call upon the Lord, but when you call upon him, you can start worshiping right then. You don't have to wait till you see your deliverance. And I know it takes time. It takes time to get to that place. I remember people saying that to me. You can bless the Lord in all things, and you can thank him. And, you know, it's like until we have experienced him in that way. But isn't it good to know our Redeemer liveth? Blessed be the Lord. He is my God. He is my buckler. He is my horn. In other words, he's my power of my salvation. He is my high tower. We can go in there. It's a place of rest and security, letting him fight. I was studying this week about little David. You know, David was just told to take bread and different stuff to the brothers and to check on them. And he went. But that's when that old Philistine came out. You know, everybody else was backing down from him. But when you know the Lord your God is your strength, I can do all things. But it's not through you. It's like when I was thinking about this morning, it was like, let my boast be in the Lord. We can't even get up on a day. We can't breathe without him. We don't have any strength. Don't wait till your strength is taken away from you. And then you rejoice in the Lord. I want my strength back, Lord. Bless the Lord in all things because he will give you the strength to go through it, to come out of it, and stand up when you're done with it. And I thank him for that. It's like we can worship him now. Worship him now and continue worshiping him when you see his faithfulness. But each time you do you realize you're growing stronger and stronger in him? And when someone says, well, how is he your rock? How are you standing in him? What does all that mean? You're able to give your testimony. That's what it is. You're glorifying and putting your boast in the Lord and what he has done and what he will do. Because he said, I died for you. I already died on the cross for you. What is it that you think I won't do for you? I've already done the utmost, and now you're mine. When you were a sinner, I died for you. But now you're mine. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take you through this day, and your confidence is going to become stronger and stronger in the Lord. I want us to go over because thank God we know he liveth. He has risen from the grave, and he is Lord. Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. And, you know, people say, oh, I long to see Jesus. I long to see Jesus. I sure wish I could see Jesus. When I come, will I find you in faith? Will I find faith? You see, I'm longing to see Jesus, but let's turn it around. Don't you think he's longing to see his bride? Don't you think the Father is longing to get this work done in her? Out of that body who's asleep, there is a bride being made for his son. He longs to see that. You know, when you have victory in your life, we long to have that victory. We long to have our healing. We long to have that long-suffering and forbearance for others. What do you think his heart feels like when he sees you having compassion and forgiveness and forbearance and saying, even though I don't feel like I have the strength, I know where my help and my strength come from. When I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that's higher than anybody, that's higher than anything. Because that's who my heart is rejoicing in. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it is about the resurrection. And I was thinking about the first fruits. You know, Christ was. But what does that mean? There's more to follow. When he rose up, we rose up with him. But how much more is going to come to pass? What about in the days of creation in the beginning? What happened? In the first day, the second day, the third day, the days of creation. Don't you know he was longing that, and I love that verse, all those verses that said, and God saw. He saw the manifestation of the word of God. When he saw this and he saw that and he said, it was good and it is very good. It's because he longed to see that. That's why he was speaking forth his word. That's why he's allowing ministers today to give out the gospel, to preach it. Moreover, brethren, and I looked up above that because you can go into the chapter before that yourselves, but it says, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever wonder, is this in order or is this decent? Ask the Lord. He will grow you up. Even around an altar, when they're speaking in tongues and there's worship, he will teach you to subside to the Spirit, to be still and know that he's God. Everyone may be worshiping him, but he comes in, and because he's alive, he takes rule. He is wanting to rule in all things. He's the controller of this new life. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What are we preaching? Good news. Not bondage. Not fear. Not make you feel that you can't measure up, because you never would measure up. That's why we preach the gospel. It's good news. When I preached unto you, which also you have received. Now you think of that. A messenger gives out the word of God and they say, they received it. And God knew that. You received it wherein you stand. That's how you're able to stand. There is no other way. If we're standing in our own strength, what did he say? Pride cometh before what? A fall. By which also, not only have you received it, not only do you stand in it, but you are saved, which also you are saved if you just keep in memory, remind yourself, Lord, remind me. I want to just sit back and revel in the times I thought I couldn't get through this trial, or I couldn't get through this sickness, or anything, a trial in your family, whatever it was. I never thought I could do it, Lord, and you showed me I had to become weak. And you showed me your strength. God's grace is sufficient for thee. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Go into Romans 1. He had nothing he could give except for, what did he do as Saul? Persecuted the church. That's all he knew. Why should it surprise people? If someone's walking in the old man, why does it surprise you when they are hateful or when they say bad things or when they do something? Why does that surprise us? The old man can do nothing good. Nothing good, it said. There is not one good, no, not one. So I choose not to keep looking at all that. I'm longing to see Jesus. Are you longing to see him in your family and your friends and your loved ones at church? That should be a longing of our heart. We want to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we all boast in the Lord. He said, you also received how he received it And in Romans 1, he told you there was a need of the gospel. And there was reasons for that. He had to show the old man in his badness and all the sinful deeds that he could do. But then he came to the next one. He goes, what, you think you're so good? I love how Paul did that. And he said, no. You see, even in all your goodness, even in all that good stuff, just like when I believe it was Saul was told to kill all of Amalek. Oh, but he kept the best for the Lord. He doesn't want your best. He doesn't want your best walk. He doesn't want your best bringing forth the word. He doesn't want your best singing. He doesn't want your best testimony. He doesn't want any of that. He wants to work a work in the heart that when it comes out, oh, I'm boasting in the Lord. The Lord liveth and blessed be my rock. So as you go through and you see that he said, I also had to receive it. So Paul's not saying I'm better than you. He had to receive the very gospel that he's preaching to you. It had to go in his heart first. As much as in me is, I'm ready to preach what? The gospel. We're preaching Christ in us, and that's it. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He said, I also received how that Christ died for, does he say your sin? No, our sins. He puts himself on the same level with the saints. He was a chief amongst sinners. But when you go and tell people you're supposed to be preaching Paul's gospels today, I guarantee you, go to 10 people, not of this church or churches that are taught grace, and say, do you know what Paul's gospels are? He was the apostle for this dispensation of God's grace. And you'll always hear, I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about. So be thankful and pray the message goes forth. But most of all, what I've been praying lately is, Lord, get your bride ready. Get your bride ready. I received it how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. If you're going to find out what Christ did and you're going to preach Christ, it's right in the scriptures. How much did he love? How much did he forgive? Look who was on the cross beside him. Look who was there, and he said, today, it only took one thing. He wasn't looking at the outward man, and he wasn't looking why he was hanging there on the side of him for what he did. He was looking at why he was dying for them. And he said, remember me this day. And he said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. You didn't do anything good, but today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I love that. That is preaching God's grace. That's God's grace. It's we preach the same truth. Christ in me that is alive because he died. He took that place that now when we rise up in him, we're a new creation. Do people know they're a new creation? No. Did I know that? No. Thank God I didn't, because then I'd be puffed up. I'd think I was something really special. No, it was the thing I didn't even deserve it. But he kept loving and loving, and he's still loving. He's still drawing with what? His love. Love will never fail, never. He said, I delivered to you. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. He said, I receive wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, and keep in memory, I delivered unto you first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, but he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He told the disciples. He told them, I'm going to raise up. I'm going to rise up again. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 men, brethren, at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now I want you to think, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Would that be empty words? Would that really be a song of worship if we didn't know the truth? Because when we worship him in spirit and in truth. When we sing spiritual songs. We're being led of the Spirit. It's to raise him up. Let him be seen. He said, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep, and that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me. Also, as one born out of due time, here comes Paul. He said, I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called. I'm not fit to be called an apostle. If you want to look at everything I ever did wrong or what I'm doing today and you're measuring it from an outward thing, he said, I'm not meet to be called apostle. And he said, an apostle was a sent one because I persecuted the church of God. Isn't it amazing that God chose someone who had so much crud is what I call it. But he's changing me. I'm not the same old creature that I used to be. Saul, he's not Paul. He's just in the flesh. That flesh is always the same and it will never change. It doesn't change. It may look to change, but here's the thing. If it didn't change in here, it's not a change. It's empty and it's vain. Any change that happens in our life is because he rose from the dead and he is alive in me and he gives me the power to be able to do. And he said, after this, he was seen of James and all the apostles, then of Paul. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But here comes a change. You see, he's talking about how I'm not meet. This is who I am. Look at what he's doing. He's going, if you want to look at that, I was persecuting the church of God. He goes, I don't deserve this. But by the grace of God, by God's favor, God's mercy and his grace, he loved him. And he knew Paul. He knew him was when he was on the road to Damascus. He knew what he was doing the whole time. And you ever worry sometimes, you think, Lord, why are you allowing this? Or why are this happening? Or are they doing this? Just know he does know. So if he knows, he's ordered it for your life. It's okay. Because God is going to do what? He's my rock. He's my high tower. He is the power of your life today because he is alive in me. He said, then I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. In other words, it wasn't empty. It's not void. It's full. He said, it's truth. He bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. And you can go in the scripture and look at everything. Yet it was not I. And that's what people don't even get in the workplace. How did you do that? How is that happening? And it's like on your inner man, it's like a little Mary spirit in there just going like, they don't even see you, Lord. They think I did it. I didn't do it. And if I did, it's vain. It's no good. He said, I labored abundantly more than they all, yet it was not I. It was the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. He said, it doesn't matter who does it. It doesn't matter who preaches it. It doesn't matter it's like just walk in the place that God's given you, because he'll give you that grace. And I mean the grace to even get up in the morning to face a new day, because you don't know what you're going to see. But how can you get up and worship the Lord? Because I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He knows that I have need of him. He's brought me to this place. He brought me into another day, another year, whatever it is. Matter of fact, I thought I was going to go into scripture today about how even when I'm gray, Lord, I still need you. Show me, keep me in this day, Lord. I labored abundantly. And when you look at that, that's a big word. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, I'm going to read that real quick. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Plain and simple. Let my boast be in the Lord. Let my confidence be in the Lord. It's, I want to see him so bad, but I want to see him now and then face to face. But right now, there's a lot going on. We've got to have our eyes open to so much. I want to see him, and then he knows when his work is complete. That's why I always say his person, his work. It's him, his person and work that Christ did. We've got to see his person, see his work. And I long to see him working in our lives, one moment by moment and day by day. He said, yea, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, worthless, it's empty. Our faith is also vain. What are you believing in if he hasn't risen? Remember Israel, what did they do? They rejected the risen Christ. That was even worse. He had taken all that shame and all that reproach. Are we accepting the risen Christ, our new life in him? If Christ wasn't risen, our preaching's vain. No reason to even get up here and talk to you about Jesus. There's no reason to talk about a coming of the Lord. Because he's dead. You see, he's dead. There's no hope in that. There's no joy in that. That's where we were. Our faith is also vain, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, who was the dead? I died with Christ. I was buried with him. But I came up in the newness of life, a new life. If the dead rise not, then Christ raised is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in what? You're still walking in your sins. I mean, that's big right there. That's so big. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ, they're perished. In other words, those that we think that we're going to see again, you don't have that hope anymore. If Christ hasn't risen, there is no hope beyond a grave. If there was no hope beyond Christ's grave, there is no hope beyond ours. In this life only, if we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, and I always look at what he showed me about now. He said, look, do it. Take that word and look at it backwards. Won. He won the victory. Now is Christ risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of them that slept. And since man came death, simple. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. That you submit yourselves unto such and everyone that helpeth with us and labor. Hold on. For as in Adam, first Adam, all are dead. Now, people, you're not going to believe that for the people out on the street. You do have to believe the full gospel. You must believe that he died for them as much as he died for me. They don't know that. But when your life, when he lets it work in you first, they're going to say, how did they change? What happened? How did you give them peace? Where did they get that joy? Where did they learn those scriptures? How in the world did that happen? Because Christ is risen from the dead, and he is the life that I now live. Even so, Christ shall all be made alive. All everyone has to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. Every man in his own order. There are ranks in the resurrection. Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, them that are Christ at his coming. And then cometh the end when he shall be delivered up the kingdom to God. And we know later he is going to give that kingdom back to his Father. He has been ruling as God up to this point. He is going to render that kingdom up to God. God takes it. He said, when he has put, but there's things that must be in the right order first. When he shall have put down all rule, he's going to put down all authority. He's going to put down all other power. It's going to be Christ all in all. He must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He that hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. There's so much authority right here. If you just see those words, God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Why get baptized? If the dead's really, they're not going to rise at all. He said, there's no reason for baptism then, because it's only an outward showing of an inward work. What are they then? Baptized for the dead? We just go down in death? And then he just holds you under. There's no hope. You're not coming up. You're coming up in life and in victory. Why do you stand in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ our Lord. I die daily just to preach this message. If any manner of men, I have fought with the beast at Ephesus. And those beasts, you think of all he had to go through. Think of us right now, taking your place in the heavenlies. Think of what you're really warring against. What advantage it me if the dead rise not? Why did I even fight the beast of Ephesus? Why was I even warring? What is all this? You see, if we just don't preach, there's the main thing. It's the whole hub of the whole wheel. You get Romans, and then you take all the other spokes of Paul's epistles, and that's when that wheel is going to turn perfectly. And if there's a little off balance, what do? You go get your tires balanced. Your word of God must be a balanced, well-fed diet. Some people go, well, I don't want to hear the milk. Well, you need it. I want meat. You need the whole diet. You need a well-balanced diet. A lot in the church, I just want to sing. Sing, sing, sing. I want the Spirit to move constantly. The Spirit is going to move constantly when you have it in the right order. When Christ is first in all things and He is God, how can you not worship Him? How can we not be led of the Spirit? Because He's the controller. He's the one leading and guiding. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Doesn't sound good? Let's eat and drink, tomorrow we die. Nothing ahead for that. We have to preach Christ and the resurrection. That's my hope. Don't be deceived. Evil corruptions corrupt good manners. You need to wake up, awake to righteousness. Sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Why would we have to be quickened? That means to be made alive. Why would you have to be quickened? He said, I have quickened you. I've made you alive. I put you, seated you in heavenly places. Why? Why? Some people go, I'm already in the bride. I'm already in the bride. Why does it say run that you may win? Run. You've got some running to do. There's running. You have to finish your course. And when your course is finished, I always think of Elijah. He knew when he was leaving. He knew when he was leaving. Paul knew when he was leaving. Why? Because they knew it exactly. The Lord speaks to them, as Jean was saying, I think a week ago, friend to friend. Why would he not want her to know? No, not this very, like today we're living here and he's like, well, Lord, you just tell me what day you're coming and then I'll just get ready. No, they've been walking and talking and living, enjoying each other, loving each other's company. And I tell you what, one day he's going to say, come on, honey, it's time. Come up hither. And there's not going to be anything to tie her down. She's longing to see him just as much as he's longing to see her. But we must have it in the right order first. I long to see that you take your place. I died for you. I was buried for you. I came up in the newness of life, but get it in the right order and then forget the things which are behind and move on and run that you may win. Run that you may win. And that which thou sowest not, that body shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat. Really meditate on this. I'm not going to go into this. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is the same flesh. So that tells me you ain't better than nobody else, and I'm not no better than anybody else. My flesh stinks just like theirs. Even if I come in and I say, well, I'm holy, and they're not holy. Well, you stink. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men. There's another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial, there are terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's only one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection that we've been talking about. The resurrection, my Bible is a mess. The resurrection of dead, it is sown in corruption. but it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Why? Because we are going to be quickened. He was made alive. If the same spirit that rose him from the dead is going to quicken your mortal bodies. It's this message to me. I don't care where you start in this book. Some people say, well, it was for Israel. But if you think about it, Israel had the oracles of God. Now they've been passed down to us, okay? So I don't think this message changes all the way. I think it's the word of God. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I change not. The word of God has been the focus point of this whole thing. Set your eyes on his word and be changed from glory to glory to glory. And as we've learned here in this meeting, when you go from glory to glory, what happened in between the two glory? There could have been a trial that you thought you'd never make it through, but when I'm weak, blessed be the rock, the God of my salvation. He's going to keep us. He's going to take us all the way. He brought us this far. He's not going to throw us away now. He knows when it's time for us to go home. And he knows if it's by way of grave or if he calls us into glory. But either one, if you come up in the first, the dead in Christ rise first, and those which are alive remain. They're caught up together with him in the clouds. To what? Be together with him forever. Forever. There'll be no more of all this that we have to go through, but right now we're overcoming. Let's all stand.